Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to the place where sports opinions collide. You've reached another episode of Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Wolf Kyle. We want to thank you for tuning in as you do each and every week. This is a weekly sports podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. This is the place where sports opinions collide. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are my homies. First up, my man, Ken. Ken, what's up, man?
What up, what up, what up? Man, just fortunate to get through Hurricane Irma, tropical storm, or whatever she called, man. Shout out to everybody out there. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Just be strong. But, yeah, man, B's not here. He lost power. I don't know what's going on with Rav. I don't know if he got affected. But, yeah, our roof, man, started leaking. So,
oh, damn.
Yeah, so it got us. We still here.
Well, I hate to hear that, man, because that's I got my roof replaced last year. Sheesh. And it's something. It is something. I echo those sentiments, man. And anybody listening that was in the path of Hurricane Irma or Hurricane Harvey for that matter, definitely thoughts and prayers with you. For many people, it's a long road to recovery, but you know, I think it's a whole lot easier to maintain when you're alive as opposed to not being alive. So definitely want to send a shout out to everybody that dealt with that. As Ken mentioned, B's not going to make it and neither FIFO, but we got the homie Q the Six Man filling in. Q, what up, man?
What's good, Kyle?
What's cragging?
Ain't nothing going on, man. Just enjoying a week of being undefeated, you know. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. Still trusting the process. Hey, man, as always, man, we're glad you were able to fill in at such short notice. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, as I mentioned at the top, man. I guess let's start with college football in the NFL. A lot of stuff happened this past weekend. you could make a case that it was a lot of bad football this weekend. Ken, I'll start first with you, man. What, you know, in college and the NFL, what stood out to you?
I think the highlight for me was Oklahoma and Ohio State. Just Baker Mayfield, what he did, the disrespect. I loved every minute of it. He shouldn't have apologized for a damn thing.
I know, right?
Because that's what we need, man. That's what competition is all about. It's supposed to be disrespectful. Ohio State, you guys know what you guys have to do next week, next year, and you guys got to get back at them and make them pay. But I like that. Keep that intensity up. That shows that. I mean, you're talking about guys that are playing this game that, you know, are not being paid, you know, getting their, you know, college tuition paid for, but that's it, right? So these are the moments that they can carry with them for the rest of their life. So I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Clemson didn't look as good as they did before, but Auburn surprisingly was really good. So that's it for college football. For the NFL, like I said, very ugly. We got guys out there looking like all-stars in week one. David Johnson goes down.
I know, right? Oh, man, that crushed a lot of people, man.
Yeah, in fantasy football and the city of Arizona. A lot of injuries, man. Allen Robinson from the Jaguars.
Jaguars,
he's
out.
He's done for the year. Yeah. Barry's done. Brady lost. That's a good thing. So we'll always take that. Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. Shout out to them brothers, man. They got it in, and they look like they are going to be solid professional NFL running backs. And the last thing, I have stood by Marvin Lewis on the show a lot.
You have, because you pro brother.
I'm pro brother, man. I'm rooting for all the brothers in the NFL, but you have to win, you know, and you have when you have to win if you have talent. Like Todd Bowles doesn't have talent. He's expected to lose. Marvin Lewis has talent, and you have to win. You can't go out there in week one and have Andy Dalton look worse than McCown and anybody, Scott Tolzien. Like, he just looked terrible. I still support the brother, but I will no longer, depending on how the season play out, it's going to be harder for me to defend him unless this team plays better and perform better. I'll leave it at that, man.
Okay. What about you, Q? College and pro, man, what stood out for you?
I guess easily I was really impressed with the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line. The corners looked all right. Our star corner, Ronald Darby, who we acquired in the Jordan Matthews trade, he dislocated his ankle, but thankfully it's about 4 to 6 weeks for recovery. But I imagine he'll probably be back in probably like 6 to 9, because I'm not going to take the under on that. Definitely always take the over on injuries when it comes to lower extremities. We look okay. Offense needs to settle in. You need to get Alshon Jeffrey more looks. Wentz had a couple deep balls they sailed over, and he underthrew to Torrey Smith. But overall, it was a good win, and I liked what I saw from Nelson Aguilar, of all people. And I'm not even going to go into why. If you're an Eagles fan, you know why. That's a huge surprise. Number two takeaway was, I believe, Sean Payton and Marvin Lewis need to switch head coaching jobs. I think Sean Payton can revive Bengals offense, and I think that Marvin Lewis needs to go down to New Orleans and resurrect the defense that has been absolutely abysmal since that Super Bowl run. I think both these coaches are just what the doctor ordered for these cities. When I look at what Marvin Lewis allowed to happen to his team, 20-0 in the home opener, that's a fireable offense. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, that's not me saying that Marvin Lewis is like the worst coach in the NFL. He's far from it. And as a matter of fact, he's probably top 15, top, you know, definitely like in that, like I'd probably put him at like 11 or 12, right? Just off the consistency of his record.
Yeah, he is the second longest tenured coach in the league behind Belichick.
Exactly. But Kyle, what I would say is that it comes a time when a coach's voice is falling on deaf ears.
I agree.
There's only a certain amount of time that you can say next year, guys. There's only a certain finite amount of time that you have to say, oh, we'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? We'll get them next time. There's only so many times that you can lose to Pittsburgh at your house after clinching the number one seed in your division. Like, it's just not, it doesn't make sense. So I think the city and the players just need a new coach. He's earned the right to go somewhere else and be a head coach because he has the consistency of going to the playoffs, has the consistency of having a top 10 defense almost every year, has the consistency of drafting great players on both sides of the ball. But when you can't put the product on the field and they can't produce the necessary results for the talent that's there, it's time to move on. Number three takeaway, I feel like the Saints are completely misusing Adrian Peterson. I'm sure we'll get into that later. I only have five things, by the way. Number four.
Oh man,
I love what I saw from Baker Mayfield. That was amazing. That was hilarious. I like when players are disrespectful, man. I like villains. I like guys who are cocky and can back it up. I don't like guys who are timid. And, you know, I feel like players in all sports nowadays, aside from boxing, aside from MMA, those like, you know, bravado sports. I feel like sports nowadays is very, you know, clean cut. Everyone has to be, you know, yeah, like everyone has to be completely PC. It's always the speech coach telling you, okay, now when you go into this interview, tell them that you respect their program and they have a collection of great players. I would just love to hear a player say, you know what, F their team. Like, honestly, like it's a bunch of punks on the defense, and I'm gonna go out there and put 45 on them. I would love to hear that. So for Baker Mayfield to take the flag and put it on the O, I love it, man. It was like some 300 Spartan stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love that. But that's my number four takeaway. And number five is Odell Beckham and Andrew Luck deserve all the money in the world. This take is very simple. The Giants look absolutely abysmal without Odell Beckham. Now, this is coupled with a lot of things because they have a horrendous left tackle with Eric Flowers. Yeah. I believe he's a left tackle. And they have no push up front. Now, you cannot do anything in the NFL if you can't run the ball. Regardless of how we devalue running backs in the NFL, yes, you can do running back by committee and win, which is evident by Cincinnati in past years with Giovanni Bernard and I forget the number 32, whatever his name was. But, and now they have Joe Mixon now, so they have a running back by committee, and you're seeing what New Orleans is trying to do. But you still need to be able to run the ball, regardless of what the name on the back of the jersey is. Paul Perkins has no room to run. Eli Manning has no time to throw. And then when he does have time to throw, guys like Brandon Marshall and Ingram and guys like Shepard can't get open. And then I saw Dallas playing cover two the entire game, Kyle, and Brandon Marshall couldn't get open. That's because you're going to bring four every time and sit two outside because they know that you can keep the pocket collapsing every single time because they don't have a left tackle. You can bring pressure from the side every time. So what I'm seeing now is that Odell deserves all the money in the world because if that is how your offense is without your number one star, then you probably need to pay him what he deserves. And he's probably not going to come back until he's 110% healthy.
Right.
I wouldn't either because I'm not going to risk my chance of getting hurt and now the team can bargain me down for my starting offer. And then also for this point, Andrew Luck, same thing. The Colts are absolutely disgraceful. I said 3 years ago, Chuck Pagano has to go. I just don't think he grasps what he has in Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. I feel like they should have the most yards between two players, a quarterback and wide receiver, in the top two every single year. But instead, they're mediocre. On defense, for the last 4 years, they have not been able to find anything to salvage a possible good defense. On the offensive end, on the offensive line, they've been abysmal. And that's why Andrew Luck has taken the most hits of any quarterback in the last 5 years. And where is he at right now? And we're going to talk about that. And that's why you have to pay your guys for the value that they are. If they're that valuable, then you got to pay them. I understand that teams are going to do what's best for the team because this is a business. But if your product goes out on the field and gets 46 points put up on them by Jared Goff, then, dog, you might have some bigger problems.
Oh, that's a great point, man. Great point. I got quite a few, man. I think, starting first with college, I thought Lamar Jackson was incredible. Granted, he was playing against North Carolina, but I think he put up he threw for three touchdowns and he ran for another three. And that was a game on the road, which, you know, North Carolina is not necessarily an easy place to play. But we do get to see, you know, Lamar Jackson on full display this coming week as they play. If I'm not mistaken, they host Clemson this weekend. That should be the game of the week in college football. So I thought he did a great job. I was surprised to see Georgia go into Notre Dame and get a win. Not that, you know, it's impossible, but, you know, Georgia is a team that, relatively speaking, has not gone outside of the conference to play that caliber of school or at least that type of reputation. And then to go into South Bend and get a win. And if you saw any parts of that game, it really sounded like a home game for Georgia. Which is weird to me because you think of the fans in South Bend, but a lot of folks from Georgia, a lot of, you know, quote unquote, the Bulldog Nation went up there to show their support to the Bulldogs. And, you know, they ended up making it sound and the Georgia head coach, Kirby Smart, also commented after the game. He said, you know, our quarterbacks were able to, you know, get their signals out and everything like that because it wasn't that loud. So, you know, anytime you can go on the road in college and take over another team stadium, you know, that's a big thing. As you guys mentioned, Baker Mayfield, he has no reason to apologize. If you take issue with what Baker Mayfield did as far as trying to, you know, stamp the Oklahoma flag in the at Ohio State Stadium, then I think that's sucker, man. You're a sucker because it's my thing is this. If you don't want opposing teams to celebrate on your field, then beat them. I mean, I, like you said, I'm not with, maybe it's because we came up in a different era, but I'm not really with all that peace. Now, I'm not about disrespecting your opponent, but, you know, if you want to talk a little trash, if you can back it up, hey, what can you do? You know, so I had no problem with it. And I'm sure Oklahoma made him, you know, apologize, but he doesn't owe me an apology at all. He kicked Ohio State's ass. And, you know, Ohio State, you know, we saw them struggle in week one and, you know, they fought back and won the game. And then they struggled, you know, and looked bad, in particular, the quarterback. You know, he's got to get it together because he's not looking good at all. But yeah, those are some of the things that stood out as far as college football. NFL, I always say, and we've talked about it previous years, you really don't know what a team is until like week four, week five. Keep in mind that, and we saw a ton of guys get hurt, saw a lot of guys cramping up, same with college, but more so in the pros, you got to keep in mind that, you know, for most of the people that played on Sunday and Thursday and Monday, this was their first game. Nobody played a full game during the preseason. So you see guys getting hurt, you see guys cramping up. And just from the looks of it, some of these guys could have used more work, could have gotten more work in the preseason. As Q mentioned, the Giants offensive line, awful. I mean, just awful. And who was that? I think Jacksonville recorded 10 sacks. And I don't think I ever remember a team recording 10 sacks in a game. You know, so to get 10 sacks says a lot for a defense. I can't, and I'll have to pull it up and see who they played. But, you know, but yeah, the offensive line, I saw a lot of bad offensive line play. Saw a lot of trashy quarterbacks on Sunday. To be honest, the football that we saw on Saturday was a lot better than the football we saw on Sunday. So a lot of sloppy play. New England looked bad. I mean, I'm not going to push the panic button. The New England still plays in the AFC East. So, I mean, they could go 9-7 and win that division. I mean, I don't think they're going 9-7, but New England looked bad. And I think Ken had the dopest text of the week. He said, New England lost last night. I slept so well. I don't jump too high off the bandwagon or, you know, dump on a team when it's just been 1 week. But, you know, like I said, it was some bad quarterback play. It was some bad offensive line play. One other thing from college. Ken, you say you support the brothers. One brother that's in trouble, Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. He is in some very bad trouble. Obviously, them blowing the lead at UCLA and then struggling mightily with Nicholls State this past Saturday. It's not looking – and then to make the matters worse, which has nothing to do with his performance, but some racist asshole sent him some hate mail to his house, which there's no room for any of that foolishness. You know, and you know, we've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You know, these people that do dumb stuff like that, don't let these people – Don't let your president get you fucked up, because it can't happen. So don't think that people are not going for that. So you can, you know, some people think that they can, you know, hide behind the anonymity of the internet. No, people can find you. So, you know, don't just take my words as advice. But getting back to the NFL, like I said, a couple of things stood out. Like you said, Dallas looked good. The Giants offensive line would look terrible. Sam freaking Bradford single-handedly killed me in fantasy football. Sam Bradford looked very good. The combination of Sam Bradford, Dalvin Cook, and that receiver Thielen looked very good on Monday Night Football. But other than that, man, it was, like I said, it wasn't necessarily a great week of football. And shout out to Alex Smith. Alex freaking Smith. I mean, like, he looked like Alex Smith, if you want to keep it 100,
boy, turn Alex, up.
Yeah, he outplayed Brady. You know, he really, really outplayed Brady. So speaking of, before I get off of offensive lines too, as well, last point, Seattle. I don't know what the hell is going on with Seattle, but man, they look terrible. Russell Wilson was sacked 3 times. He was hit another 7 times. The running backs only averaged 53 yards. They only gained 53 yards. So I don't know what's going on in Seattle, but they better fix it, man, because they look. And again, it was one game. You know, it was against Green. It was at Green Bay at Lambeau. But yeah, they look bad, man. They look really, really bad. So we'll see what happens. A couple of, you know, some good games coming up this week. We got a quarterback shuffle already, as Deshaun Watson has been named the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what the hell is going on in Indianapolis, as the Colts have somewhat of a, I think they right now they have a quarterback shuffle going on as well. So we'll see what happens. Again, it's only week one of the NFL. So if your team came out and looked bad, you know, it's okay. But, you know, after about 4 or 5 weeks, you pretty much know who your team is. Now, speaking of the Colts, Andrew Luck, man, we got word that he could be. Now, we know he had surgery in the offseason. He could be out at least until October. Q, I got 2 questions for you, and you touched on it a little bit earlier. Is it too late to say the season is over for the Colts? Because they had Tolzien out there starting, and then they ended up subsequently pulling him and inserting Jacoby Brissett, who came over from the Patriots, I think, like a week ago. So he's only been there a week. So the question is it too early to say the season is over for the Colts? And is Andrew Luck washed up?
Nah, man, it's definitely not. The thing is that the division is, like, terrible. Like, the entire division is horrendous. Aside from Tennessee, who I'm not a believer in, I don't think that there's any one team that's dominant. If you can point to a quarterback in that division besides Mariota, who I loved at Oregon, and I actually think he's a pretty capable quarterback, I don't believe that there is one, like, you know, purebred in that division, if you get what I'm saying. So my overall point here is that it's not too late, but it doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Because the strength of the teams in the division, you have Jacksonville, who Blake Bortles, I don't trust him at all. I think he's absolutely terrible. There's this hilarious Twitter account called Blake Bortles Facts I looked up, and it's like just, you know, it's just like goofy things like Blake Bortles and Tom Brady have 4 MVPs between, you know, each of them and whatnot. And like it's like Blake Bortles and Eli Manning both have between them two Super Bowl rings, just things that Blake Bortles doesn't have. But, you know, they couple them with people who do have them. Hilarious. But Jacksonville's defense is good. They have a good front seven. I love Jalen Ramsey. He's the sassiest corner in the NFL. Honestly, his quotes are hilarious. Then you have, like I said, Tennessee, Mariota. Like his game, he's kind of like a diet Alex Smith, if that's even possible. But at the same time, he's faster than Alex Smith, and I'd probably say he's just as accurate. So you have him, but then that defensive side of the ball, they're not, you know, anything to write home about. So you can keep yourself in the game against Tennessee. Just don't let Mariota run wild. Then you have the Texans, who they are playing QB roulette. They're just throwing, you know, they're just throwing darts at the board, saying, oh, 1 week it'll be Savage, 1 week it's going to be Deshaun Watson. I think they should let Deshaun Watson ride this out. But, you know, Savage, even though we're probably going to get he's not coming back, and he honestly should, man. He was absolutely horrendous, and the ball did move, and Deshaun Watson does one thing that a lot of quarterbacks like Tom Savage, who are, by that I mean terrible quarterbacks, those type of quarterbacks that don't do. They get the ball to the top offensive player. Deshaun Watson targeted DeAndre Hopkins like almost every time he was out there. He was looking his way. He was looking to get him the ball. Tom Savage didn't even look DeAndre's way like more than like twice. So I just don't like Tom Savage's QB play. But their defense on that side is dominant. But this is where the Colts' dilemma is. The Colts aren't respectable on either side of the ball. they're just not. They drafted a bust in Philip Dorsett, which I believe they're not using him right, and I think that Belichick got a steal for him. And now they're going to probably start Jacoby Brissett, who only under Bill Belichick, to me, is a capable NFL quarterback. What are you going to do, just run pass option every single play? Are you just going to run option every single play? That's just not going to work in the NFL to get you at least 7 games. I think 7 games truly can win this division. I think 8 games can win this division because I think all 4 teams have fatal flaws. For Jacksonville, like I said, it's Bortles. For Tennessee, it's their defense. For Houston, it's the quarterback play. And it might be Bill O'Brien's pride also. And then for the Colts, it's both sides of the ball. So it's really just pick your poison with which team you put your faith in. For Luck, I don't think he should come back until he's 100% healthy either, Kyle, because let me ask you something. Would you put your health at risk just so you can win that division to get spanked by the Patriots in the first round?
Probably not.
Because you're going to wait till you're 100% healthy. You got your back, you got your legs, you got your head in order, and then go back up there next year, get a nice little draft pick, draft you a good offensive lineman, which I still hated. If you go back and watch the old Dead End Sports, I remember I called in and I said I hated the Philip Dorsett pick because it did not address the defensive line or the offensive line. And right on schedule, 2 years later, Andrew Luck is hurt. So Irsay got to go. And I know they just got a new GM and owner, but they both got to go because this is just ridiculous, man. 46-6 to Jared Goff. Jared Goff, Kyle. Like, it's really Jared Goff. We were questioning if Jared Goff was even belonging in the NFL last year.
Right.
And 46-6 it was? Nah, dude. Don't come back, Luck. Don't come back.
No doubt. No doubt. What about you, Ken? Luck, man, it's bad luck right now. He could be out. We know he had the offseason surgery. He could be out until late November. Is the season over for the Colts? And do you think Andrew Luck's washed up?
Yeah, it's over. It's over. That team moved behind Andrew Luck. I mean, we know that now. We can see that now. They look completely pathetic without him. And his talent alone won them games. And very Peyton Manning-like in the sense that he's able to offset or overcome the deficiencies that the Colts have, you know, on defense. So for me, I think it's over. Tolzien, we already know, man. We talked about him. He looks absolutely terrible. I'm with Q. Brissett, I mean, Colts just, I mean, they just pretty much just traded pieces that they, neither team were going to use anyway. So if Belichick can get something out of Dorsett, he will. If he won't, then Dorsett is done. He's out of the league. For Brissett, that's clearly a move because they don't want to sign Colin Kaepernick. So Andrew Luck is not washed up at all, man. He just hasn't been healthy. And if he can get healthy, then he can go out and prove that he isn't washed up. So yeah.
I think is it too early to say this? It's always too early to say something. I mean, it's just one game. But based on what I see, I don't like what I see, man, from the Colts. I think, you know, they have really struggled to put playmakers around Luck. And, you know, with him being down now, and then you got to keep in mind, too, not just putting playmakers around him, but when we last saw Luck, he didn't look that good either. So, you know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, you're trying to assess Luck, and then you're trying to assess the team that's around him. I mean, he's got T.Y., but other than that, I mean, like, you know, and I know they tried to bring in Richardson, and that didn't work. And, I mean, you got Frank Gore. Frank Gore is about as old as me. So, you know, it's just, you know, only because they're in this division, that's the only reason why I won't say that the season is over. Because truthfully, the winner of this division could be 7-9, right? So if that happens, then, you know, if you get Luck back and let's say they're, I don't know, 1-4, you still got a shot. You know, as crazy as it may sound, and you put them in any other division in the NFL, and they're done. You know, you stick a fork in them. Is Luck washed up? He's not washed up, but the last time that we saw him, he didn't look good. And I don't know if he didn't look good because is he not as good as we thought he was, or was he hurt the last time that we saw him? And I think time will tell on that one. But what's interesting is, and I was sitting there thinking about it today, is that, you know, I think back to 2012. Who were the two quarterbacks coming out of the 2012 draft that were like, quote unquote, can't miss prospects? Andrew Luck and RG3. Andrew Luck is, you know, hurt with a bum shoulder. And, you know, we're just, you know, we know he's coming back at some point, but he's, but like you said, Q, he might not come back until he's 100%. We know about the struggles that RG3 has had, you know, with his knees and everything. And RG3 is not even in the league anymore. I saw a video of RG3 shooting hoops. You know, it looked pretty bad, but he was shooting hoops. This guy's posting Instagram videos of him shooting hoops, and he doesn't even play basketball. So I don't know, man. So, I mean, I don't know if RG, I really don't know the reason why he posted the videos of him shooting hoops. And he's out there, he got the hoodie on like Mello. And I'm like, okay, RG, what are you doing? I mean, like, if you want teams to, and I'm sure that teams understand that you're out there, but maybe they just, you know, they're not checking for you like that. So yeah, it's crazy when you think about it, because that was 2012, and here we are in 2017. You know, it was all good just a week ago, and you know, RG3 is posting IG videos, and Andrew Luck is just watching. So it's too early to say he's washed up. I mean, he's got his money, but it ain't looking good. So hopefully we'll see a better Andrew Luck when he comes back. But I agree with Q. I don't think we're going to see him 1 minute before he's 100%. You know, no matter what the Colts record is, they'll still be in the hunt for the division by the time he comes back. Chuck Pagano, he might not be around. So we'll see. Time will tell. As we mentioned a little earlier, Colin Kaepernick is back in the news, not because of anything he did, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick seems to stay in the news even when he's not doing anything. As you all know, Colin Kaepernick has not been signed. This past week, man, a couple of people spoke on Colin Kaepernick or spoke about him, if you will. The first is Roger Goodell. Someone asked Roger Goodell about Colin Kaepernick and him not being in the NFL. And Roger Goodell said, and I quote, "I'm not a football expert. I don't know why Colin Kaepernick isn't in the NFL." Close quote. And then there was Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis said that, quote, "The Ravens were about to sign Kaepernick until his girlfriend posted a racist tweet about Ray Lewis and the owner." Close quote. Now, if you missed the tweet, it was a picture of, it was a picture, two pictures, one picture at the top, one picture at the bottom. First picture at the top was, I guess the guy, what's the guy's name? Steven in the movie Django and the slave owner. And the picture beneath it was a picture of the Ravens owner being hugged by Ray Lewis. So my question is, Q, who told a bigger lie, Roger Goodell or Ray Lewis?
Kyle, man, both of these instances are absolutely ridiculous. First of all, Roger Goodell saying that is like somebody who got into a car accident in a Honda, going to the head of Honda being like, "Hey, this is a problem," and then the head of Honda says, "I'm not a car expert." So it's like, what is this? I'm so disgusted, because every single time these comments come out from people, I just realize just how brainwashed some people are, and how money can really corrupt people and really make people forget where the hell they came from. Because it's like, Ray Lewis, of all people, dude, you should understand what it feels like to be in a situation in which people are projecting something on you that you believe was false. Now, we don't know where
jacket went to, but we're not going to get into that. But what we do know is that Colin Kaepernick has said from day one that he's doing this to stand up against oppression. He's doing this to stand up against murderous police, police who murder people who are unarmed, people who are innocent. This was never something to go against the military. This wasn't, you know, a desecration of what people view to be American values. This wasn't an attack on people's way of life. This was an attack on injustice. And people are, to this day, going hard on Colin Kaepernick because of the way he's doing it. And in my opinion, you already know how I feel. It's probably one of the most courageous things that you could do as an athlete, to take a stand by sitting. And instead, people are vilifying him, and we're seeing that effect now. Now, to directly answer your question, Ray Lewis has been doing a dramatic reading for 12 Years a Slave on TV for the past couple weeks. And I'm just absolutely stunned, man. He just keeps on bucking his eyes, tap dancing, and cutting a jig every time one of either Skip or Shannon asks him, so why does the Baltimore owner not bring him in for a workout? And then Ray come out and say, I mean, well, you know, he likes to do all that. Like, dude, like, are you serious at this point? What we're seeing now with Ray Lewis is the fact that Ray Lewis is trying to protect his job, because Ray Lewis knows that from the time that he stood his trial, he has to fall in line and be a good one and not stir and shake the table or stir the pot, because and he already knows that his three strikes, you know, are already off the table. He's already on that third strike. So if he comes out and tries to be a militant black man, they gonna come after him the way that they came after him when he lost that jacket.
So let me ask you this, not to cut you off. Let me ask you this, just to your point right there. Why not say, if they say, okay, well, Ray, why isn't Baltimore looking to sign Kaepernick? Why not say, right, I don't know? I mean, that would be exactly. That would be the simplest answer, I would think. And then you don't have to worry about straddling the fence. You can just kind of play the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, Kyle, that's the thing. No, you're perfectly fine. That's the thing, Kyle. Okay. A lot of these guys, I don't want to get into a place where I'm projecting what the people, but there is a lot of times where in black male athletes' lives, their coaches, the GMs, and the owners of the teams that they play for become almost sort of famous too. Meaning in which, if you grew up in a household that either had a no father figure or low father, you know, involvement in your life, or just no real parental involvement in your life at all, and you grew up on the football field and your coaches from peewee to high school to middle school, you know what I'm saying, all the guys who groomed you to become the man that you are now, and the man who gave you that shot to become the star that you are as you became Ray Lewis, and the guy who drafted you, you look at that guy as like the dude who kind of made you, you know, if that's making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these guys, they project this father figure title onto guys. I can't really think of the name of the Baltimore owner, but they project that onto them, and they are willing to protect them at all costs because, no, don't say that about him because he's a good man. I've been behind the scenes with him. I know his heart. Or at least you think that's what you know. But I'm going to end this very, very, very soundly with this. At the end of the day, there's a reason why he's your owner. And just understand that he views you as product to put out there to be sold.
Mm.
You don't owe any loyalty to somebody who's not acting in accordance with how the NFL should be run. And that means giving a fair shot to talent to prove itself. Understand that he's your owner for a reason, but don't mean that you got to treat him like he's your owner. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I feel you. What about you, Ken? Your take, man. Who told the bigger lie, Goodell Ray Lewis, or do you see them as the same?
Man, Q, man, it's like, hey, Ray Lewis, come in here and tell me about this Negro out there, right? You know, it's like, can we keep this boy in line? You know, you call a black guy. Ray Lewis, man, I don't want to say that the brother's lying. I'm not 100% certain. I'm disturbed by him saying this like now, and I looked at this as him pretty much ending Colin Kaepernick's career. You know, because he knows how this was gonna play out, and if he really cared about getting Colin a job, he would have kept that behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have leaked it to Stephen A. Smith a month ago. And when it didn't take the way he thought it would, because Stephen A. Smith said it, but nobody jumped on it. He came out and said it himself. And for me, this was clearly an example of Ray Lewis being hurt. His feelings were hurt by that tweet. And that's why he had to jump on Twitter and preach to him. And, you know, when people jumped on him about that, you know, and we are with him, you know, coming out saying what he said. Ray Lewis has been on the fence for a while. And what Ray Lewis found out was that she tweeted something that we've been saying about him for quite some time. And that's the thing. Ray Lewis,
she's black, too.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. Like, the black community has had Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis has been on watch for a minute. He came out against Colin last year, and he slowly, just like Stephen A. Smith, started to shift his tone as the year went on. And now, all of a sudden, he's behind him. It's unfortunate because Q's right. Ray Lewis got caught up. And he could be behind bars right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Ray Lewis just went back home, man. He went back to his roots. And he felt more comfortable speaking out against a brother than he is supporting him. Ray Lewis does a lot of good things in the community. He's involved. This was one that need his involvement. And Ray Lewis, yeah, that tweet was out there, but man, we say this on the show all the time, man. Call that brother. Call Colin and get to the bottom of it. We know Ray Lewis is a tough son of a you-know-what. Ray Lewis is not afraid of anybody. Ray Lewis should be the type of person to be like, all right, yeah, hey, what's up with that? You know, mm-hmm. to call him on the phone and address it. And tell him, like, look, man, this ain't the way. I'm trying to help you. And you basically need to check your girl. Sorry, all the female listeners out there. I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but, you know. But
we got you. We got you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to, you know. But it's like, yo, man, y'all need to kind of chill. You know, I'm working on something. And, you know, I'm trying to help you out. That's it, man. That's it. It's just that simple, but he didn't. Instead, you know, he called it off. And Q's right, man. Dog, you got to realize that he's the owner. You are the player. You run on a football field. You tackle and hit other guys with a ball that carries a ball on a football field, and a majority of them are black. You are a gladiator playing a modern-day gladiator sport. That's what you are. So, nah, man, like, He didn't do Colin any favors, so he need to kill that noise. Roger Goodell, it's very simple, man. Roger Goodell's like, I'm staying out of it. That's all it was. Like, I'm not. He said it wrong. I'm not a football expert. When you're running when you're the
commissioner, right? When you're running the league.
Yeah, that
Yo, Kyle, I have one quick question.
Go ahead.
Do you know if the NFL? Do you know if the NFLPA? Has filed a motion or try to get garner support for Kaepernick the way that they have for Ezekiel Elliott?
You know what, Q? We actually broached this subject maybe about a month and a half ago. My understanding was that the NFLPA works on the behalf of active players. But someone who I know that works for the NFL said that that's not true, that the NFL should, now the operative word here is should act on the behalf of all players, because in fact he is a tenured player. You know, so if you look at guys like, let's say, what's the guy's name? Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy, at the time that he was going through his stuff, he was not an active player, but he was a player that was, you know, trying to get on a roster, if you will. From what I understand, the NFL has released statements saying that they are, you know, looking to help Kaepernick in any way that they can. Now, what that entails, they've been very tight-lipped about that. And to be honest, I don't know what communication, if they've had any communication with Kaepernick, you know, at all. And I'm not necessarily faulting NFLPA for that. I'm not necessarily faulting Kaepernick for that, because from what I understand, it's been kind of hard to get to Kaepernick. But Kaepernick also does, from what I can tell, at least looking from the outside looking in, it looks like he doesn't want anybody speaking for him. He'd rather speak for himself. Now, he hasn't really, but he's not speaking. You know, he released a tweet, you know, a couple of tweets about, you know, his efforts and things that he's doing on a social activism level. But as far as him, you know, saying, hey, I want a job. And I think that in and of itself sounds dumb. I've heard people say, well, he just needs to come and just tell people what it is that he wants. He wants to play football. I mean, like, who doesn't want to play football? Exactly. He doesn't have to have a press. He doesn't have to have a press conference to announce that, you know, like I said, RG3, he posted IG videos of him playing basketball. If somebody called RG3 tomorrow, he doesn't have to hold a press conference to let you know he wants to play.
The thing is, Kyle, is that I'm just absolutely disgusted by the entire situation as the way it's been progressing, because you look at just the quarterback play over the weekend and you just see people like Posey, McCown, Dalton, even Bortles. Like, he's getting a lot of praise, but he was not that good. You know, Tom Savage. And then you're telling me that these guys deserve a shot over Kaepernick. This is obviously down to his social activism. This is,
of course, nothing. I mean, to no, teams would rather they would rather lose than I think somebody mentioned, I think it was B maybe a couple of weeks ago, you know, at this point, if you sign Kaepernick, you pretty much, you know, and I don't know that you're necessarily you. It's my assumption that if one owner signed Kaepernick, then he would be going against the other 31 owners. But I also think that he's in a situation where, you know, they would rather look. I mean, come on, man. Scott Tolzien. I mean, really?
Right.
You know, I watched Mike Glennon play. And I mean, I know the quarterbacks, you know, the Bears have their quarterbacks, but I watched Mike Glennon play Sunday. We talked about it a couple of weeks last week. In fact, it's like four really, really good. It's four great quarterbacks in this league. And there's probably like six really good quarterbacks. And then there's probably like three more decent quarterbacks. The rest are trash. And the ones behind them are trash. So, you know, I mean, you know.
Right. Just think, Ken, just like think about what Colin Kaepernick could do a year tutoring Deshaun Watson. You know what I'm saying? And I think people like Shannon Sharp are actually the ones for Kaepernick by proxy, because from what I'm understanding from Shannon is he speaks to Colin very frequently and he tells him certain things and he just relays that to America on Undisputed. But I also wanted to ask you this, Ken, because it's like they brought up the fact that he's not going to speak because he doesn't want to, quote unquote, get on his knees for his job. And do you think that do you think it's necessary to say that I won't beg for my job, or do you think it's more of a, you know, he should come out and just give us his position? I personally think that he already has put his position out there and it hasn't wavered, so they should know.
I think, okay, Yes, I think he should.
When you say you think he should, what do you think he should do, Ken?
Yeah, I think he needs to say something.
Okay.
Going back to the PA statement real quick. Now, I did hear that they have reached out and Colin turned him down. He wants to do it his way. So, and they basically said, we're here if you need me.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up.
So there's that. So I think it's gotten to the point where it's so, so messy. And there's so much misinformation out there that I think he needs to either issue a statement or say something just to set the record straight. And I in the beginning, I was totally against it. Cutler got a job. All these other people getting jobs without having to say anything. But Colin's situation is unique. And is one where the media spends a lot of time on it because it obviously must be really, really good for ratings. So they continue to just say and put out whatever. And they carry a lot of influence. Although I do know that, or would like to believe that the NFL owners don't really listen to all that. Like they have their own really like secret, you know, group text that they have. So, but I do know that at this point, I don't think it would help, but sometimes, man, you just got to set the record straight. So I would like for him to come out and, I don't know. I'm kind of cool with him not saying anything. I believe in doing it your way and not bucking, you know, bowing down to the system. But at the same time, if people out there saying all this stuff about me, that's not true, then I would have an issue with that. Let's talk about Brady, right? Brady came out today or yesterday or whenever, and he said that he hasn't been paying attention to this Colin Kaepernick situation. He gave a very Brady-like answer. You know, for me, you're lying. This is a flat-out lie. There's no way in hell that Tom Brady isn't aware of what's going on with Colin Kaepernick and the situation around Colin Kaepernick. It's unavoidable, especially when you have black teammates. Now, I don't know how things move in New England. Now, when you get in that locker room, you know, maybe the black teammates have to hush up and be quiet and get within the system and, get on that, you know, put on those chains, you know, and yes, sir, no, sir. That might be how it worked in New England. I'm not sure. But for Brady to get out there and flat out lie about this situation just, you know, further adds to my distaste for this guy. He doesn't have to support it. He doesn't have to approve of it. He doesn't have to do any of that. He can say, I disapprove of it. But to say I haven't been paying attention is BS. And it annoyed me so much because there's no way you haven't had a conversation with anybody about this. Somebody's asking you about this. You play in the NFL. You're an NFL quarterback. There's no way someone will be like, hey, man, what's going on with Colin Kaepernick? You think he's going
to
play?
People who don't even watch the NFL talk about it.
Right. I know you're at home talking to Giselle about it.
Everybody talks about it every night.
Yes.
Or most nights.
So, nah, man, I'm even further done with this dude, man.
Yeah, I don't I wasn't surprised. I saw a statement. I'm not surprised. Brady's gonna toe the company line. He's not gonna say anything. He's not gonna make any waves. So I don't value or listen to anything that he has to say. So it doesn't bother me the fact that he's keeping a PC. As for Ray Lewis, Ray Lewis broke out the soft shoes, man. I mean, like. He's tapping good, man. He is tapping really, really good. Ray Lewis has a lot of nerve. I've watched Ray Lewis from afar transform into, he was this troubled linebacker who, had a troubled past at Miami, got into some stuff. And then obviously the horrific crime of, two men being stabbed to death here in the city of Atlanta, which, by the way, nobody was ever acquitted for. So, there's two families here who are deeply affected and still deeply, the wounds still run very deeply when you have a guy on trial who, you know, some say that the Atlanta Police Department tried to set Ray Lewis up, thinking that he did not, you know, thinking that he actually did the killing. But, you know, Ray Lewis walked, you know, he was charged with obstruction of justice, but he still walked. So him and his co-defendants walked. So there were two bodies that laid dead on the ground in the city of Atlanta, and nobody went to jail for it. So that's the backdrop of what you should know about Ray Lewis. And then he goes from that to transforming himself into this, I don't know, preacher guy, this motivation guy. And, you know, he goes on and wins the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. He walks into Canton, you know, his actions on the field speak for themselves. I'm not even going to speak to that. The problem that I had with what Ray Lewis said, and I just read part of a quote, but the full quote, Ray Lewis kept using the word we. Now, last time I checked, Ray Lewis is not an employee of the Baltimore Ravens anymore. You know, and that really bothered me, because I'm like, okay, why do you keep saying we? You're not a you're a Raven, you know, alumni, but alumnus, you know, but you're not a part of the management team. And, you know, when the owner said, well, I'm going to talk to people, I'm going to talk to Ray. Yeah, they might talk to you, but then you think that Ray Lewis is actually making decisions for the Baltimore Ravens? Here's the thing. If the Ravens, let's appease Ray in his quote. If they really had an issue with the tweet that was sent by Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend, right, who is, you know, this big time radio disc jockey in New York City. If they had an issue with it, then why not just have her issue an apology, delete the tweet, and let's keep it moving? If it were that simple. But for Ray to come out and say, well, you know, about the disrespect and this and that, and he doesn't know what we were trying to do. We were about to sign. I'm like, you're not signing anybody, Ray Lewis, but you're out here tap dancing. That's what you're doing. You know, so to me, the picture was just, I thought the picture was dead on point. You know, and I understand this. And one thing that I do know, and I'm pretty sure that this has not happened. You mentioned about, you know, the fact that Q, you mentioned about the fact that, you know, Colin Kaepernick speaks with Shannon Sharpe. Well, who's one of Shannon Sharpe's best friends? Ray Lewis. So you can't tell me that Ray Lewis couldn't get in contact with Colin Kaepernick. At the very least, through Shannon Sharpe, he would be able to. But Ray Lewis would rather air this quote unquote dirty laundry just because he got a meme of himself. Come on, man. Get off your high horse, Ray Lewis. We know who you are. And most people can see through the phony bullshit. At least I can. So I take Ray Lewis for what he is, you know. And, you know, if you want to tap dance for the man, that's fine. But all of that comes at a cost. And I'm just not into selling my soul. Now, I don't want anybody listening to this think that you have to necessarily back Colin Kaepernick. We're not saying that at all. But what I will call out is a fake and a fraud. That's Ray Lewis to me. You know, if you got an issue, if you think I'm wrong, tweet me at 12 Kyle. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for all of the commentary. But yeah, he's a fake and a fraud. So I wasn't, to be honest, I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. This is who Ray Lewis has become. So, you know, while he's on TV talking about we were about to sign him, you weren't about to do nothing. Because if it was that simple, all it would have taken was a phone call. Hey, take the tweet down, issue an apology, and let's keep it pushing. The Ravens can use Colin Kaepernick. There's at least 7 or 8 teams that could use Colin Kaepernick, but they don't want to. And I understand. And at this point, and I mentioned on a previous podcast, I don't think Colin Kaepernick is going to get signed. So, you know, and I respect anyone who's listening, who is boycotting. A couple people hit me up last week. Well, I'm boycotting the NFL. Okay, cool. Hey, more power to you. I understand. I don't begrudge anybody who's boycotting the NFL for those reasons. But understand this, if you're boycotting the NFL, this probably is not going to happen. It's rare for people to get signed once the season has started, particularly at that position. No, they're not going to sign him. You know, so if you want to keep boycotting the NFL, I mean, knock yourself out. I'm not mad at you for that. But understand, Ray Lewis and Roger Goodell, you know, it's a show. It's a clown show. So, you know, when you're looking at the circus, understand what it is that you're looking at. That's all I got to say. All right, let's move on to the NBA, man. Kobe Bean Bryant. It was announced today that he is getting his numbers retired. And I say numbers as in plural. As many of you know, Kobe Bryant, during his illustrious career with the LA Lakers, wore the number 8 and he wore the number 24. You know, and I don't know of any other team that has retired 2 numbers for a player, but, you know, it can happen. I mean, hell, Miami Heat retired the number 23 for a player that didn't even wear the jersey for their team. But they just love Jordan, I guess. So they retired the number 23. So nobody will wear the number 23 for the Miami Heat, given the fact that Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls and never played for the Heat. So anything is possible when it comes to retiring numbers. That being said, the question I want to throw to you guys, and Ken, I'll start with you first. If it was your decision, and you could only retire one number, which number would it be and why? 8 or 24?
24. To be honest, I don't even remember him wearing 8.
Really?
I don't. I remember 24 more than 8. When did he wear the 8?
He wore 8. I think he won 3 rings. Those were the Shaq
right?
years.
Shaq years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take that back then. I'll retire 8 so he can always be attached to Shaq.
Nah.
We need to attach him to that Shaq legacy, man. not the Jordan 2-4 clone, era with 24, which is why I was gonna say I would do 24 because he, you know, clearly modeled his game after Jordan, and it speaks to his level of talent to be able to go out there and do it. Like, there's a lot of people that tried, very few people. As a matter of fact, no one has ever come as close as Kobe has, even though he was not as effective at it as Jordan was. But he had the game. But yeah, man, let's be petty. Let's be petty today, and let's retire number 8.
I'm all for the petty. Q, what about you? Which one you retire, man? You're a big basketball fan. 24 or number 8?
That's his man's, man. Kobe's his
I know, that's his man's in them.
Man, if I had to, probably 24. I think that was the one, that was the number in which he proved that it wasn't just Shaq. It was also Pau Gasol and Metta World Peace. No, I'm joking. But when it comes to... I'm joking. But no, it wasn't just Shaq. He came into, I guess you could say, his own, even though this was very Jordan clone, like Ken said. But he came into his own, and the team revolved completely around him. I think he got 2 rings, then he got an MVP with it. You know what I'm saying? I look at number 8 Kobe as, like, the killer, like, assassin Kobe. Like, you know, the young Mamba in training. And I look at 24 as like the grown Mamba, where it's like, I can run this team now. I can be sort of a leader, even though he's not better than LeBron at leading. But, you know, I can be a leader. I can, you know, get a team to the finals. And I think I just remember 24 being special because that one game winner he hit over D Wade. That was pretty special. And also the 60 points in your last game, like, you know, you can't really top a better Hollywood ending than that. Obviously, outside of winning a championship, there's no other way I could see a Kobe Bryant career ending than wearing the number 24 and scoring 60 in your final game at LA. So it's like, definitely 24 for me, but I can see the argument for 8 because, Kyle, you remember those finals better than I do. Mm-hmm. When Shaq got in foul trouble, Kobe had to put the team on his back. That was when Kobe could jump out the gym
You know, he was doing behind the back, you know, through the leg layups, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, tossing off glass to himself. That was an all-star game, Kobe, where, you know, he went, him and AI and Vince was going at it. Like, that was, you know, great time. And I think that he's, number eight is more of the high flyer to me. But 24 is like the champion Kobe to me for some reason. I look at those first three finals more as a conjunction of Shaq and Kobe, but more on Shaq. But I look at 24 as like those are Kobe's two rings in which he had a team that was built for him.
Okay.
That was after the rape charges, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were that was after he was wilding out in Denver. Yeah,
after he dry snitched on Shaq. Yeah, so like Ken said it. Now, if we're going to go with the petty, and I'm all for the petty. You can call me Petty Murphy. I go with eight because that was the one where he was wearing that when Chris Childs gave him that two-piece.
God, why are we disrespecting Kobe so much tonight?
Hey, man, anybody knows me knows that I'm a huge Kobe Bryant hater. But I will say this. In saying that, man, I have grown to appreciate the greatness of Kobe being Bryant, man. Seriously, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go 24. Because, like you said, for the obvious reasons, I think those earlier championships were, you know, tied to Shaq. And I meant to actually throw this out to you guys via text the other day. I saw something, and I'll have to go back and look and see. I saw it on Twitter. I think, like, their averages, I think in the final, Shaq was, like, 31 points a game, and Kobe's, like, 28, 29 points a game. And, like, you know how, like, you remember seeing those finals? But I don't – and I remember them dominating the teams that they played, but I didn't really remember the averages like that. And I'm like, damn, they were, like – I mean – And I told, like, one of my best friends is a huge Lakers fan. And I told him when Shaq started with the trade demands, I told him right then and there, I said, look, if you guys let Shaq go, I said, neither of them will never get more than six rings. I said, but if they can somehow stay together, I said, this team could run off seven or eight titles by themselves. And I don't think that's, you know, was a far stretch. I think they could. I mean, they will obviously still go down as one of the greatest duos to ever play the game. But I think, you know, ring wise, Kobe, he surpasses Mike if Kobe and Shaq stay together. I think it was fortunate that Kobe was able to get two more rings. You know, I don't want to say on his own, but I mean, without Shaq, I thought that was incredible. So that's why I would probably give the nod to the 24. And did he get the 81 points with the 8 or the 24? I can't remember. Okay.
That was 8. No.
That was
no,
8? Okay. Okay.
That was when Jalen Rose was still in the league.
Yeah. Oh, right. But yeah, I would go with 24. But yeah, man, I think, you know, had they stayed together, and obviously we know why they didn't. Shaq was jealous and Kobe snitched. And so, you know, they couldn't coexist, but I just kind of wish that they would have, even though I don't like the Lakers. I mean, I actually hate the Lakers, but just from a fan's perspective, from afar, I would have loved to have seen how that would have played out over a period of time, because I think if they had stayed together, yeah, I think 8-9 titles for the both of them easily. But, you know, they're together, and I'm pretty sure when they retire Kobe's jersey, it's going to be December 18th against the Warriors at Staples Center. I'm pretty sure Shaq's going to be there. I'm pretty sure Phil Jackson's going to be there. And, you know, a lot of the teammates, Derek Fisher, a.k.a. the Dirty Mac, he'll be there. So watch your girl. But, yeah, it's but Kobe, man, he's incredible, man. I mean, there's no such thing as the next Jordan, but he was close. And I mean, and again, this is coming from a hater, but I respect his greatness. But yeah, if it were up to me, I probably retire 24. But you know, the Lakers are going to put both numbers in the rafters, so it's going to be good. It's going to be a celebration for Laker Nation. They don't have much to celebrate this time, but yeah, man, a trip down nostalgia. Kobe Bryant going into the Lakers ring of, excuse me, jerseys of honor, if you will, getting hung up in Staples Center. As always, we'd like to thank you all for checking out our podcast. We like to do this every week. We want to thank you. Make sure that you not only listen to the podcast, but subscribe, share, and then, you know, pass the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's about time for us to get up out of here. Before we do that, it's time for our closing thoughts. Q, you're up first. What's your closing thought this week?
My closing thought here is Jamel Hill.
Oh,
yes. Thank you.
Good Lord. Okay. Very, very quickly.
Take your time.
Okay. What I'm going to say here is that if the people are getting in trouble, if people are getting in trouble for telling the truth, then what are you being told on the daily? That's something that we have to address. When it comes to people like Jamel Hill, people who speak up and use their platform and use their spot in the daily, you know, discourse and our daily lives on TV, that we see them every single day, when they use their voice and use their platform to speak up for what they view as right and for what they view is helping marginalized people and or marginalized groups, then you have to applaud that. Whether you agree or whether you disagree, if you're going to stand by free speech, then you need to stand by free speech all the time. Now, Jamel Hill went out on Twitter and she's called Donald Trump a quote-unquote white supremacist. And she said that he hangs around with other white supremacists. Now, regardless of who you voted for, regardless of who you want to be president, regardless of your politics, when a guy stands on, you know, the White House correspondence booth and says that there were good guys on both sides, I really don't know what you think that is, but at the very least, that sounds like some nonsense. When a guy hires, you know, Steve Bannon to be his chief strategist, and Steve Bannon has made up kooky articles on his website, Breitbart, blaming Jewish people, blaming Black people for, you know, the economy, blaming immigrants and minorities, specifically of Spanish-speaking descent, blaming those people for the reason why there are certain problems in America. When you go out of your way, like Donald Trump, to say that you assault women without asking for consent and you touch them in places that shouldn't be named, when you go out on TV, like Donald Trump has said, that Mexicans are coming across the border and they're quote-unquote rapists and they're bringing crime and drugs, I don't know what else you would call that, but you could see how Jamel Hill at least can come to the conclusion that that is at least a little bit racist. Now, call it what you want. But at the end of the day, this is an issue in which you either want people to have a voice or you don't. She's being met with a lot of vitriol, a lot of disdain for what she said on Twitter in an interaction with one of her followers, or just a guy, probably. It wasn't even probably one of her followers, but I wouldn't be surprised, because there are probably more people who follow her and Michael that hate on what they say than, you know, people who don't. But she called it what it was in her mind. And in her mind, she believes she's speaking up for people who don't have the platform to say that. So for ESPN to reprimand her and put out that statement today saying that they've spoken to her and it's being handled accordingly, I think that's just complete BS. And it's just so disingenuous and see-through. If you can't call out somebody, because if you can't call out a guy like Donald Trump because you're afraid of alienating a certain demographic, then I would need to ask the people who are the heads of ESPN, why in the world do you find that demographic necessary to your success in the first place? What type of demographic are you trying to cater to that you can't call out basic racism and or just at the least basic bigotry and ignorance? If you can't call that out and call a spade a spade, then how can you brand yourself as an inclusive, as a diverse, and as an accepting of all ideas of a network that ESPN promotes itself to be. How can you put Michael and Jamel on TV every day and then market their blackness and, you know, make money off of their slang and make money off of how they move and how they speak to their guests and basically quantifying, you know, their basically their swag? How can you put that on TV, make money off that? But the moment that those people, Michael and Jamel, I was speaking of, put on, as they say, and show up for the people that are being affected by the things that we're seeing in the news lately from Charlottesville now to now, how can you call yourself inclusive and accepting of those two, especially Jamel in this situation, and then turn around and say that you're going to handle the situation accordingly and this does not represent the views of ESPN? Instead of saying that, I would have liked to have heard, this does not represent the views of ESPN, but we completely back our correspondent, Jamel Hill, in the way that she believes in her political views. That is her personal beliefs, and we believe in inclusive, and we believe in the exchanging of new ideas that are not meant to target or hurt, but to educate. And that's all Jamel Hill does. She doesn't curse people out on her timeline. She doesn't, you know, say unnecessary inflammatory things towards anybody. She calls a spade, much like she does in her commentary. So my closing thoughts are this. We have to support those who show up for us. I stand with Jamel Hill, and I hope everyone else does too, because we need, and this is a black woman here, so we need to stand up 100%. And I hope everyone else sees that this is the moment to also stand behind a woman like Jamel Hill, who is already behind the eight ball for being black, but she's also behind the eight ball for being a woman in the sports industry. So that double whammy that she's already seeing is going to come down on her twice as hard if we don't show up. It's time to show up. The way that we showed up for Colin Kaepernick, we got to show up for Jamel Hill equally as hard, probably 10 times harder.
Great point, Q. What about you, Ken? What's your final thought?
I hope the sister's okay. I hope they don't let her go, man.
No, they're not gonna let her go.
Yeah, they need her. She's definitely a great talent and a fun person, an entertaining person to listen to. She's good, man. Cleveland Indians tonight. Won their 20th game in a row. Shout out to Cleveland. Probably not going to amount for anything, but hey, it's a great accomplishment nonetheless. And conversely, the Los Angeles Dodgers have lost 11 in a row. I think, see, you now watch. Cleveland's going to lose one. They probably lose 5-10. We talked about them. Then they went on a losing streak.
Right. You're right, too. You're right, Ken. Hey. We did talk about them.
Yeah. We talked about it. Everybody started talking about the Dodgers. I guess they can't handle it.
This was like a month ago.
I know. The pressure, man. They can't win a game anymore. And it's crazy. They're losing to bad teams. The Giants. Right. You know, and it's I'm like, what is going on? Their best pitchers are losing. Kershaw lost. Wood lost, Rich Hill lost, Madea, like the bullpen can't hold the lead. It's incredible to watch them get all of their praise and then they just toss it away. I don't know, maybe they just can't handle the pressure of being successful. We will see when the playoffs come along. But yeah, we got two teams going in opposite directions. But if you're the Dodgers, you'll take your losing streak now, as opposed to the playoffs. So we'll see how this play out the rest of this season.
No doubt. My final thought will be actually piggybacking on what Q said. I really don't have much to offer. I will say this much, though, in response to Jamel Hill's comments about your mans. I find it interesting that people should really stop and take a listen or even take a look at Jamel Hill's Twitter timeline. Don't look at what she's tweeting, but look at what people tweet her. And she's spoken about this on several occasions. The amount of tweets that she gets, you know, the stick to sports and this and that. And then, you know, and not even when she's talking about something, quote unquote, controversial, you should be fired. And we all know ESPN did like a massive layoff earlier this year. And there were so many people saying that, you know, she shouldn't, she doesn't deserve her job. She doesn't know sports. And then there are the tweets that are, you know, just downright despicable. I mean, I'm talking about tweets, talking about, you know, men sending tweets saying that it would rape her and they'd kill. Well, I don't know if it's gotten as far as killing her, but, you know, something that, you know, most people who have keyboard courage would say. The interesting thing is, as a woman in sports, she's subjective to this. And, you know, her counterpart doesn't get these kind of tweets, and he won't. You know why? Because the cowards who send these tweets would never say that to another man. But women, particularly a black woman in sports, which is such a rarity in and of itself, is, you know, they feel like it's open game. Here's what I'll say about Jemele Hill's comments. I find it very interesting that people are up in arms that she called Donald Trump a white supremacist. Instead of calling Donald Trump out for being a white supremacist, as Q just eloquently spoke about what happened in Charlottesville and Trump's comments about what happened in Charlottesville. Well, if you want to know what happened in Charlottesville, ask Q. He was there. He, you know, it's not like CNN, but he was there. He was right there on the ground. And he, the last time he was on his podcast, he told us exactly on air and off air what happened. So, you know, again, instead of being mad about what Jemele Hill said, take issue with the person that she's talking about. You know, we got an old saying, and I'm really, really surprised at people because, you know, they're so quick to defend. Well, maybe you're defending because maybe she's telling the truth. And the truth hurts. And we have an old saying in the South. A hit dog will holler. You go look on Twitter and it's a whole bunch of hollering going on. Thank you for checking out another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. I'm your boy 12 Kyle. In his absence, my man BZ430. FIFO, got to thank my boy Q for coming through. And, of course, the homie Ken. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
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 Bitches.